No, this is All Saints Day, also referred to as All Saints Day. And one of my favorite songs, absolutely one of my favorite songs, I can still hear the, when I was a youth pastor a long time ago, we loved as a youth group to sing. We had an amazing pianist and we pounded out this song. It's hard to imagine. I don't know how old this hymn is, but it's old enough to have these and thous in it. So listen to these words. Absolutely one of my favorite songs. I said to Dan, aren't we going to do this today? And I thought maybe I'd sing it a cappella, but let me just read a few of the words from this song called For All the Saints. Now, Marilyn and I have been doing a marvelous devotion every night using the 365 days in Christian history. And I'll tell you, 2 pages a night, just before you turn off the lights, some of the things that God's people have done and also some of the things that they've gone through because they are so deeply committed to Christ. I want you to listen to these words. I'm going to just read the words. For all the saints who from their labors rest, these are past saints, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou in the darkness drear, their one true light. Alleluia. Alleluia. O blessed communion. The communion of the saints. O blessed communion, fellowship divine. We feebly struggle. They in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee. For all are thine. Alleluia. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints in triumph rise, rise in great array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia. Alleluia. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl stream in the countless host, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia. Alleluia. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, on this Reformation Day, we thank you, Lord, for those who, back in the 1500s, just really laid it out on the line and bucked the system. It seemed to their own peril. They stood against people that should have been their brothers and sisters in Christ. And over the years, conflicts arose. And Lord, I thank you that even when people were so powerful that they could steamroll other Christians, sometimes for rigid doctrinal beliefs that should not have had to divide true believers, I thank you, Lord, that in the battle, that you've been the one in whom generations after generations have put their trust. And Lord, we have children in our midst. We have young people growing up in homes that where Christ is honored. And we thank you, Lord, that they and we share a heritage of saints that have gone before us across time. And I pray, Father, that we would be mindful that now it is we who need to stand for Christ wherever you place us. We thank you, Father, for all the saints, but most of all, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So in your notes, I tell you that I just can see myself, it was as if it were yesterday, sitting at a table with a dear friend. And he said, what's this verse? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Come on, you gotta be kidding. The meek don't inherit the earth. Who inherits the earth? It's the powerful, it's the steamrollers. It's the people who seem to have all the power and have all the say. You know, when we consider all the saints across time, you know, we in this country have heard people say, well, we believe in the separation of church, right? Church and government, church and state. Well, that's really the way we'd like it. We like it, isn't it? The separation of church and state. What happens when the state, when the government that has all the power tells you how you're going to believe, when you're going to worship, and who you're going to worship? Across the history, since the Reformation, the state has told people, when you'd have somebody that was, let's say, a Roman Catholic king, and he converted, like we were reading about last night, he converted to Protestantism. Well, the people tended to be called the Huguenots. I really didn't even know what that word means, but the Huguenots, these Protestants, well, you actually had to say, you actually had to have an edict coming from the king, who now converted to be a Protestant, it's okay for you to be to worship other than being in the Catholic Church. And that there was this edict that was passed in the 1500s, the late 1500s, and everything was great for about a year, and then the powers that be flip-flopped again, and suddenly, if you were a Huguenot, if you were a Protestant, you were dead meat, and you had a short amount of time to say you were no longer a Protestant and renounce your beliefs. You see, when power becomes the ultimate thing, power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts completely. The world has always had a power problem, hasn't it? Sure it has. Power. We all tend to want a certain amount of power. In our country today, there's power struggles going on everywhere, right? But you know, power is not just a problem for the it's not just a problem that's wielded in an ugly way in the halls of Congress or the halls of the White House or the Kremlin or Parliament. Power is wielded every day on the job, right? People in power, they have the say as to whether you can keep your job or not. Last week I gave a testimony about a couple of people in our midst that just recently, you know, saw God shift the power struggle inside of their employment. And it was a praise God moment that this took place. But power is a problem really for all of us. What are some of the things? I want you to take your notes out right now and grab a pen, and if you can, if you guys, if you're using your phone, you can also just take some notes on this. What are some of the things that the power that you wield? I want you to just think for a moment. I want you to stop and think. This is now. Don't just sit there. I might call on you, so write something down. Okay? I'm going to be quiet for a minute. What do you have power over? Okay, how do you exercise power? Power over what? Somebody say something.
Happiness.
What?
Happiness.
Power, okay, you have power over your emotions, right? Yeah. What else?
Decisions.
Your decisions, power to make decisions. Good, yes. Somebody else?
Eating habits.
Eating habits. All right, you're already thinking about lunch. What else? Your prayer life, okay? So you've got power over your schedule, right? Yeah, okay. I was wondering who would bring that up. Yeah, the power of the tongue. That thing that in the book of James says it's such a hard thing to control, isn't it? You know, it's such a little thing. It's such a little thing. And yet it wields so much power. By the way, I got one of those nights that we read recently about the tongue and what was done by those who were in power over that tongue, not the person in whose face it was. See, we all have power. We have power over and sometimes we wield that power in kind of a not so nice way. We said we have power over over our emotions. That's right, we do. We have power over our emotions. And sometimes we use our power to withhold love from other people, to withhold interaction. Here's my power. I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm not. And you can't make me. You know, it goes on. Lots of, you know, we have power over the tongue when we say, "You're an idiot. Why don't you pay attention? How many times am I going to have to tell you?" The power over the tongue. So, what about this business about the meek shall inherit the earth? The reason why I chose that word weak when we're talking about gentleness is the spirit-controlled life, as we walk in the spirit, the fruit of the spirit, the way it's evident is in the form of gentleness or meekness. Gentleness or meekness. The word is quite interchangeable. The Greek word is proutes, and you can spell that however way that sounds if you're taking notes, proutes. But really, the word has a lot to do with the control over our power. Power under control. I could say something nasty right now. I could cut you to ribbons right now. I could be silent and hold you out. I can talk behind your back. I can text behind your back. I can whatever. And do it, use my power to hurt you. Whether you're a young person, it happens all the time, right? We wield our power over our parents, over our kids. The meek, those who control have their power under control, will inherit the earth. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "Walk in the Spirit, and you won't use your tongue in a way that is out of control." Well, he doesn't say it that way. He says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You won't give somebody a piece of your mind that you can't afford to lose. Walk in the Spirit, and you will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. You'll love. You'll show God's love for people. Joy. You'll demonstrate joy. The joy of Jesus, even the joy that he endured on the cross, enduring the cross for the sake of the joy that would follow. Our joy and his. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, power under control. I love that definition of power, of gentleness. Gentleness is, please write this down, memorize these words. Gentleness is power under control. Some additional words to go with it. It is to be mild. It is to be meek. It is to be, and very often this word in the New Testament, as well as the Greek translation of the Old Testament in the Septuagint, is called, it is often translated by the word humble. The humble who just, Lord, I'm satisfied with you. I'm yielded. I'm humbly yielding. I might be being mistreated right now, and I might want to swing, strike back and take a swing at people. But it is to be humble and meek. Strength mixed with a gentle disposition. In rulers and judges, it is sternness, gentleness or meekness is sternness tempered by leniency. Sternness tempered. It's softened by leniency. I think of people like, Abraham Lincoln. Now, he was a politician. He was a masterful politician, had a masterful mind. And he was a man who wielded the power of the presidency to an extent that he was hated by half the country. But he moved forward. He had strength tempered by a leniency, the kind of leniency that you read in Lincoln's second inaugural address that was delivered only days before he was assassinated, with malice toward none. Malice toward none. This leniency that would say, both sides read from the same Bible and came to some different conclusions, but we must bind up the nation's wounds. We must bind up the nation's wounds. Sternness. The sternness of a president that would take his country to war. The people against the people. But marked by leniency. Gentleness involves a few things you'll see in your notes. Gentleness involves showing a sense of submission to God's word. Submission to God's word. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We'll see the fruit of the Spirit demonstrated all over in the book of Colossians, but especially in verses 12 we'll go through 14, 15, 16 even. Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, now this is because you are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, then clothe yourselves with, in other words, put on these things, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. put these things on. I can't do that. I mean, I have to do, not in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And when the Spirit says, excuse me. This is my way of thinking of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. In a sense, I just envision that the Holy Spirit is clearing his throat saying, excuse me, you really want to go down this road, or how about this road? Put on humility and kindness, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Excuse me? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Excuse me. Are you going to forgive? Or are you going to hold out forgiveness? You see, you have power to hold it off, don't you? A little bit for a while? To withhold forgiveness? From your kids, from your spouse, from your neighbor, from your employer? Forgive. But you see, when we walk in the Spirit, we keep listening to the Spirit. Oh, okay. Have you ever fought, have you ever argued with the GPS that you have on your phone? I don't want to do that. And it keeps reminding you, at the next intersection, when it's safe, take a U-turn. You know, come on back. You know, I'll take you where you said you wanted to go. But sometimes the Holy Spirit would just keep saying, excuse me, are you going to go this way or not? Okay. I have these dreams that I get lost all the time. And I literally, when we were visiting Dave and Sarah after the death of her dad, and we were now in Texas, and I was doing my morning walks in the dark, and I have these repeated dreams anyway that I'm lost, and I'm in places I'm unfamiliar with, and I got myself lost, and I feel pretty good about the direction I'm going right now. If I go just a little bit further, and finally I realized I was a lot farther away than I could have imagined, that I had just kind of wandered. It was dark out still, early morning. I pulled out the GPS, and the GPS said, excuse me, take a left. Submission to God's word. And where does it start? Why am I talking about submission to God's word? Because it says, okay, you call yourself a Christian, as people who are chosen by God. Now listen to me and keep listening. Listen to me regularly, morning, noon, and night. Meditate on my word, and you will be successful in your dealings with those people that you wield power over. But it's not that you'll come out necessarily always on top, because you're going to have to yield ground to them. Submission to God's word. That's what it means to be gentle. To be gentle is to also show humility. James 1. Turn to me in the back of your Bibles to James chapter 1. This is that whole text where we talk about the tongue being in control of things, but that's not immediately here. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Verse 19, James 1. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, this is all part of being gentle, isn't it? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. And here's the word for gentle, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. How does the word get planted in you? Well, if you're chosen, if you're a follower of Christ, the word is planted in you. How so? Well, I remember the prophet saying in the Old Testament, saying on behalf of the living God, the prophet says for God, I will place my word on your heart, in your mind, and on your heart. It will be in you. It will be the most natural thing for you to get the direct orders from on high. How so? Well, we find out when this wonderful gift that we were singing about today, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is in you. And the Holy Spirit, again, keeps saying, excuse me. Now, what was that verse and where was it? And now it's so easy to find out. If you just even can remember a fragment of that verse, type it in your search engine and it'll take you. You'll find it so fast, you'll feel like a Bible scholar. But it's not the search engine. The real search is done by the Holy Spirit in this moment. Who Jesus said in John chapter 16, this is to your advantage that I'm gone, because I'll send the Spirit and he will be in you. And he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit who is in me will convict me. When, man, you've been raising your voice too much. Quiet down. Be quiet. You don't have to yell to make your point. Not just from the pulpit, but to your wife and your kids. Shh. Be still and listen to me. That's the Spirit of God that is in you. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. How do you do this? And the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly, gently, meekly, accept the word implanted in you that can save you eternally and save you in the midst of this moment. Gentleness is displayed in humility. It's also displayed in consideration of other people. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 through 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be completely humble and gentle. There it is. Make sure your power is under control. If we're going to get along with each other in the church, I mean, we're a pretty happy church, aren't we? We really are. Some churches fight like cats and dogs. They just, man. But this is the church. This is in the home. Homes full of believers. Homes or families that are living at distances from each other but are squabbling with each other. Husbands and wives that are committed to being one in Christ. And yet, Paul says, if you're going to get to that point of really being one, then be completely humble and gentle with each other. Get your power under control. Get your volume under control. Get your criticism under control. Okay? You just had a bad day, and you feel pretty cruddy about yourself. Don't take it out on somebody else, whether it's on the road or in the home or against a politician or against a school board, back off and get your power under control. If God wants you to do something with that power, he'll make it really clear. George read scripture today from Psalm chapter 37. Would you please turn to Psalm 37? I'm going to zero in on just a few verses. He read verses 1 through 11. I want to read verses 7. This is from King David. Now let's say, what was his role? Well, he was a shepherd. What is he when he writes this? He's a king. Okay? This is a king that's fought lots of battles, killed lots of people, displayed a lot of power. Talked about the Lord giving him. Look at this, guys. The Lord giving him a trained hand for war. King David writes these words. Be still before the Lord. This is power under control. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Shh. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. Don't, you know, a lot of powerful people around us. Don't fret when they succeed in their ways. When they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. Don't fret. What's going to happen if you fret? It's going to only lead to evil. Quit worrying. Only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek, those who have their power under control, the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace as they, go back to verse 7, are still and know that he's God, accepting him as God, regardless of the circumstances. Two more things. Guys, just stick around for just a few minutes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 3. I love this text so much. Remember who Peter is writing to. He's writing to people that are under, they are really under the gun. Some of them have probably already been persecuted to the point of death. And Peter himself is facing death. He said, don't worry about going to prison for doing what's right. But you should be real concerned if you're going into prison for doing something that was truly wrong. Verses 15 and 16. Actually, I will read here verses 13 through 17. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Daily, hour after hour. Lord, you're the boss. You're the boss. You're the boss. But I don't like these circumstances, Lord. Jaime prayed for Patrick and Debbie O'Connor. And those of you who get her prayer letter, or Patrick's, you realize this is kind of a gut-wrenching time as they await for the Lord to take her. Tough, but at the same time glorious that they're going through this together. Seriously, folks, I'm serious. It's a blessing to be able to have somebody by your side to go through this with you. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always surrendering to him. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that's going on within you. But do so, when you talk to them, with a sense of gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who you speak to won't, those who speak maliciously of you for your good behavior in Christ, so that they may be ashamed of their slander. It's better for God's will. It's better if God's will to suffer for doing good rather than for doing evil. You know, folks, here it comes down to this. When you talk to somebody about Christ, when any of us talk to somebody about Christ, and they seem like a little bit of an airhead about not knowing anything that, you know, I mean, you've got the Spirit of God living in you, and they're far from God. So just watch it. They may have some amazing arguments, but you look down at them and you go, come on. Who are you? Watch your attitude when you speak to them about Christ. Speak with gentleness. What is gentleness? It's power under control. Where does the power come from? It comes from God's word. It comes from God's Spirit who has implanted his word in you. So be yielded to him. And show respect with gentleness. Lastly, just hang in there. Galatians chapter 6. You kind of, maybe you've been wondering all these months how long it was going to take to get to Galatians chapter 6. Well, I want to just refer to this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if one of you is caught in a sin, busted. I mean, this is not just some sort of political accusation that, you know, doesn't have anything to it. This is the real deal. You've been caught red-handed. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. How? Gently. Gently. Could be your kids. Could be your spouse. Could be a friend. Could be another church member. Could be a pastor. You who are spiritual, restore them. Bring them back into the fellowship with your power under control. The things you say to them. The procedures you go through. May they be tempered by this. Do this gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. I never thought that could happen to me. It would never happen to me. Never. Really. Give me a break. We're all made of the same flesh and blood. We all experience temptations, and we all mess up. So just remember that as you restore people to fellowship gently. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, and you'll exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is a powerful word. It is such a gift. I pray, Lord, that we would live in the power and the freedom and live well with the reminders to live in the Spirit, and therefore exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to personalize this. And I pray this in Christ's name. Would you all stand with me, please, and we'll be dismissed with a benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to cause us to stand before his presence blameless and with great joy, to him be the glory. To him be the glory. In our church, in our families, among our friendships, to him be the glory. Now and forever by the power of that Spirit. Amen.